Joining us right now on Radio Row, I love doing MMA on Radio Row, and our next guest, Matt Mitrium. I'm saying this, he's big, he could beat my ass, he's a foot away from me, but I'm going to say this. I've watched every episode, almost, of The Ultimate Fighter. In the history of The Ultimate Fighter, there's absolutely nobody that came off, I think, and this is saying a lot, as more of a wackadoodle than Matt Mitrium, but guess what? Editing's a funny thing, and it turned out this guy could kick a lot of ass. He's a natural athlete, former NFL football player.
Yes, sir.
And now he's fighting for Bellator, and he's about to fight one of the most legendary fighters in the history of the sport, Fedor Emelianenko. It's Matt Mitrione. Long time no see, buddy.
It is, man, as well. I totally agree. And I believe that was a very accurate synopsis of my Ultimate Fighter experience.
We have Team Alpha Male in Sacramento, and and grew up with Uriah Faber, who's done a couple of stints on that show. And what you find out is that Craig Borsari and Dana and the whole crew involved, they know how to edit really well. Now, I'm not saying you don't have – I mean, anybody who fights in this sport, all due respect, is a little bit of a whack job because you're getting hit in the face all the time. You have to be. So I'm not saying you don't have a little tinge to you, but – As your career blossomed outside the reality show, I think a lot of people realized editing's a hell of a thing, and you're actually a pretty normal dude.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I'll tell you what. So there's a scenario that happened behind the scenes on The Ultimate Fighter, and that is that I got a phone call from Scott Junk's agent, Ken Pavia, the night before we left for the show, night before we had a report. And he was like, hey, look, I got a guy who's going to be on the show named Scott Junk. He wants to set up an alliance. So give him a call. I think it's a good idea. And my response, knowing nobody in MMA except for Chris Seidel and Jake O'Brien,
sure.
Well, I'm not really that comfortable with it. He's like, look, trust me. I vouch for him. He's totally legit. Go for this option.
This
I think it's
Ken
a good
Pavia's
idea.
Helm.
Ken Pavia. So I didn't know Ken Pavia.
I'll bet you do now.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So I say, okay. So he gives me Junk's number. I call Junk. Junk's like, hey, look, man, we help each other get through the first round. We share any kind of information we have, help each other get through the first round. Second round, all bets are off. I could fight you the next day, and I'm going to try to take your head off. All right, cool. Why not? Why not have a friend? We go into Ultimate Fighter. I'm the last person in the house for the most part, and all the rooms were taken. There were, like, a couple rooms with, like, two bunk beds, and most of them had three or four bunks. I didn't want to be around that many people.
Sure.
So we had a single mattress. I throw it into a closet, and I sleep in the closet because I want my own space. That was the first weird thing that I did, right?
Right.
Then we find out 2 weeks later, six-week show, find out that who's fighting who. I go tell Junk, keep up my end of the bargain that he proposed. Tell Junk, hey, look, you're fighting your roommate. I'm fighting Marcus, but I got a bad shoulder, so I'm going to be on the shelf for a minute. You can fight whenever. I don't know when you're going to fight.
Sure.
He goes downstairs and throws me under the bus. Uh-huh. Hey, Mitrione just snitched, did all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then I didn't know about it. It was at nighttime. I come back up, and all of a sudden I'm hated.
This is because Pavia threw you under the bus, I guarantee you.
Tell me, I guarantee you did something. Yep. So then I come into a situation where, look, I'm hated. And there's a conferring with other contestants policy, so I can't say anything about it.
Right.
So I was like, well, if I'm hated now, I'm
might
not going
well.
Anywhere.
Might
I might as well live the dream.
Yep.
And so I entertained myself by doing things, and I couldn't tell anybody why. So I was manipulating every variable I saw possible to fight Scott Junk.
Yep.
And I didn't care how it made me look. I didn't care what it did. And I just figured I'd just run with it and make myself laugh.
Yeah, now who's fighting Fedor?
Right? Yeah. Right?
Who won?
Yeah.
Scoreboard Mitrium.
You know, like, there was a dude that that Dana White, we're at a club in Vegas, and he was around some current MMA fighters that still fight in the UFC. And he was like, man, F Mitrione. And I was like, that's a really interesting
perspective. Wait, Dana said this?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, first of all, that doesn't surprise me at all.
That's Dana.
I was like, but you're salty because I won the game?
Right.
Because I told you I wanted X amount of money.
Sure.
You guys said no. I said, okay, cool, I'm out. You guys didn't think I was going to bounce, and I got the money I wanted. Like, and that's the conversation that you're salty about? So, yeah, you're right. F me. Mm-hmm. I won the game.
Yeah.
You're right.
Scoreboard.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I just got to sit here and listen to all that. You watched it firsthand.
Yeah.
I don't have enough knowledge of this, but you go from one physical sport to another. Let's be honest. It's because football is for sissies, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. Really. You know, it's amazing. Like, the athleticism needed for each one is completely different.
Yeah.
Like, they don't feed into each other nearly as much as what people would think.
Yeah.
The explosiveness is great. The punching power is great, right? And you develop that.
Sure.
But the punching power comes from your hips.
Yep.
Right? So the stagnant power is massive. And like the throwing power is massive from fighters. But I'm sorry, from football players.
Sure.
But the striking power and kicking power comes from fighters, comes from your hips, comes from the flexibility of being non-linear, of understanding your pendulum, right?
Yeah.
And when to come out of it and when to be able to explode and rotate and roll. And most football players don't have that.
Nate, I want to show you a picture, and I'll tweet this out. Yeah, now, you know I'm pretty active on Twitter, and I've tweeted some things before. I've never got more retweets in my entire life than when I tweeted out a screenshot of Matt Mitrione's eye directly after one of his fights.
No.
Yeah. That's, let me get, that's real.
That's real. Oh.
It is. It
I had
is.
A staff infection that looked like
Dude,
that once.
I hope it wasn't your eye.
Bro, no. I forget who it was, African-American fighter about 10 years ago who had a, you know, I don't know how else to say this, turn down your radio if you got kids in the car, but it looked like he had a vagina on his forehead.
A goat's vagina. That was Joe Rogan's.
Yeah, God, I forget
goat's vagina.
It's the most graphic injury I maybe have seen. And you, full disclosure, we ran into each other at the hotel a couple days ago, and you had a little recovery time, but as I understand it, you were explaining to me, you had a little photo session.
I did. Had a picture with my daughter at her school, like, a week later after that happened.
Oh, God.
So, like, and I was so distraught. Like, that's what I was really upset about. Like, not the pain, not the surgery I had to go through or whatever else.
Yeah.
It was the fact that I had to go take a picture with my daughter, and she had to be proud of me.
Yes.
And I looked like a monster.
Yeah.
Like, that was the rough gig about it.
You tell them you walked into a door or something.
Dude, they all know what I get. Because I live in a town of 30,000 people, so I stick out a little bit.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So, like, so that picture, right?
Yeah.
When I got out of the hospital about 4 hours later, the first thing I see is a meme in all Arabic of me. And I was like, dude,
what?
I made it across the world. I made it, my top of the world. Not what you want to be known for, but I'm a known commodity now.
Matt Mitrione with us on Radio Row. You fight for Bellator now, and I'm going to go deep MMA here for a second, so whatever, but I'll take the license because I love this sport. Bellator is really the only competitor at the UFC, and I think these next couple years are really, with the sale of the UFC, are going to be a big deal. I don't want to get too deep in the business aspect, Matt, but I know you know what I'm talking about. To me, in addition to the fighter stable and the talent like you, obviously, Scott Coker to me is as good as Dana White when it comes to promoting, whether it's Strikeforce, now he's at Bellator. He's like the one guy that even Dana won't disrespect because he's so universally loved amongst fighters and businessmen in the sport. And he's the guy leading up Bellator, putting together a fight like you and Fedor, which we'll talk about in a second. You got to feel good about being under that flag.
You know, I never got the chance to meet Mr. Coker until I signed.
Yeah.
But I've always heard great things about him. And I know that he is enamored, influenced, however you want to say it, by Japanese MMA.
Yep.
The main screen, the fireworks, the smoke, the massive walkout, the dramatics.
The pride.
And the pride. And it makes it an awesome show. And he treats us right, man. Like, yep. And he tells you, like, and it's, he never overpromises and underdelivers. He just tells you, hey, look, this is what we're going to do, and this is why we're going to do it. There's a conversation about it. And if I have a feeling about something, right, like I'm a name over in Bellator. I was another face at the UFC,
sure.
Right, however they wanted to play it or not. When you talk about something, if I have an opinion, he'll listen. He may not do it, but he'll at least pretend that he cares, and he'll listen to you and give you some time and give you some respect. And that's a massive thing. That's what a lot of us want, right? We just want the time. The conversation is what we're looking for.
You got a fight with Fedor coming up.
Hell yes.
I'm going to nerd out here. So, 'cause for those of you who don't know, and shame on you, you know, Fedor Emelianenko, to call him a legend, is an absolute understatement. The Last Emperor. This is a guy once upon a time who was thought of as for a long time, as the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Go look at any of his fights with Nogueira or
anybody.
Anybody.
Anybody you've ever heard of, he's beaten.
Yeah, you're damn right. And now, let's be honest, Fedor is a little older. He's suffered some losses. But I would imagine you're prepping for, 2002 Fedor Emelianenko, not necessarily 2017.
Yes, completely agree. Now, the interesting part about that is, if you consider the way he fights, right?
Yeah.
Nothing straight, everything looping.
Yep.
Jumping, he jumps into all of his hooks, swings his right hand with power, and throws punches and bunches. What other person fights like that, if you think about it?
All right, so Junior is a guy that loops, but it does not have that same ducking style. Kane's a wrestler. You got me. Who the hell would compare to Fedor?
The only person out of all my travels and everybody I know, which I'm lucky, my name's been able to open doors for me as far as being able to utilize and train with other people.
Yeah.
Is Chris Lytle.
That makes sense.
170 pounder.
That makes sense.
Extremely unorthodox.
I didn't think about a 170 guy. Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
So, and I didn't either.
Yeah.
But Chris has got it. He's got a great chin, never been knocked out, never, like, hardly been knocked down.
Yeah.
And so I've gotten used to Fedor's style because of the way Chris fights. And I'm luckily I can blend him, his jumping in aggressive style, versus my training partners that are very good at Greco, very, very strong, very good on the ground, and have that refrigerator strength. Pick up a refrigerator, carry to block.
Yeah.
That's what they got. So I learned a lot of that. So I've been able to prep for this fight simply because of who I know and they've been in my life this whole time. But then I get the technical aspect by flying down to Florida and training with Coach Henry and Coach Greg.
Wrapping up with Matt Mitrione, last thing for you. Is one of the biggest challenges you're dealing with training, in training, the mental aspect of trying to not be starstruck when you walk into that cage?
You know, I'm very fortunate. I've been starstruck twice in my life. One was by BJ Penn. One is going to be by Barry Sanders when I meet him today. And that's really all it is. I will not be starstruck by Fedor.
Real.
It won't bother me.
Good for you.
But I'm looking forward to the opportunity for sure.
Matt Mitrione, Fedor Emelianenko coming up on Bellator. You got a long week this week of Radio Row. You're a little familiar with the game of football. And I probably should ask you a football question, but I can't do it with you, dude.
Tell rolls, bro.
I asked a football question.
You did. You're absolutely right.
I did.
I sat here and geeked out all over Mitrione. Appreciate you, brother. You're a good dude. Good luck to you, man.
Thank you, man.
That's Matt Mitrione. We will be right back.